I'd like us, if we could just stand in the house of God for a moment. And I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me. And we're going to ask God to speak to our hearts, to give revelation and understanding, that we might never be the same. So will you pray this with me? Heavenly Father, speak to my heart. Give me revelation and understanding. That I would never be the same. That you would be glorified. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, it's me again. And Lord, I ask that your anointing would flow in this place. That the river of your presence flow in this place, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Sweep through this place. For you're welcome in this place, O God. Lord, that you would reveal your glory and your majesty. Oh Lord, open the heavens over this place. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. For those that don't know, this is my princess of 35 or more years. This is Jenny. And again, some of you will not know. Now, some that from New Life will know what happens, but some of you will not. And so often, right at the beginning, I like to explain why Jenny's wandering off down the back. Because she's just going out for a quick smoke and then she'll be back shortly. No. No, she's not. But just that many years ago, we were pastoring our own church, and I was starting to get sick, and we had a visiting preacher come into our church to preach, and he had a word from God to say over the two of us. And he said over me that there was coming a time in the future where he planned to use us to light the fires of revival, renewal all around the world, to bring healing to many all around the world. And I remember distinctly, just at that moment, saying in my heart, yeah, right, I'm dying. You better hurry up, God. I don't have a lot of time left. And then he said a word over my wife, said that if she would stand or sit at the back and raise her hands and her heart, and intercede, that as long as she was there with her hands raised, interceding while I was speaking, that the anointing, the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit would move as she interceded for me. So ever since that day, she will go to the back and she will sit or stand as the case may be, and she'll raise her hands and she will intercede and pray as long as I am speaking. Of course, it has taught me to keep the message fairly short, you understand. Because if her arms get tired and they drop down, then I might as well shut up. There's no point going on. There was a time, and it was actually in the United States, and I guess I was a bit long-winded, and I think my wife's arms were starting to drop down, getting tired, and two men decided to sit beside her and hold her arms up, except they were holding them up here like this, you see. And she said that after a while, she started to, it started to hurt, and every time she tried to lower her arms to ease the pressure, these men would kind of haul back up again like this, you see. So finally, when I did stop speaking and said, if anybody would like prayer, if you'd like to come up, the first one that came running to the front was her. It was kind of like, pray for my neck, pray for my neck. So we do like to tell people right at the beginning that, please, if you feel moved to hold her arms up, don't rip them out of the sockets, just she likes to have them around here, you know. I want to introduce to you some very special friends who our hearts have knit, friends we've known for many years. One was a man who was there when the miracle happened, when I was healed. He was at the conference. He was in the place. And in fact, in his church was the very first church that I preached in after the miracle. He was also trusted by God to shepherd, to carry, to host, to pastor, an outpouring of his Holy Spirit. We had 40 days, I believe it was, that we went in Augusta, Georgia. So not only do they have a great golf course there. They actually have a great church and a great pastor. And he has come from the United States. He's here. He's had a look around in Ireland and found they all have webbed feet because it just rains and rains and rains and rains. So they decided to come to another part of the UK where it doesn't rain. So, and they're just believing that God's going to do something. And part of their heart was not just to see the nation, but to be where God was going to do something. And I think it is significant that we actually have two men that God trusted with an outpouring of His Spirit who feel to be here at this time because they believe God's going to do something. So I want to introduce to you two very dear special friends from Augusta, Georgia. This is Pastor Ron and Judith Finio. Say hello.
Amen. My wife doesn't like to speak. What do you want to say? She prays for me.
Just be patient when you talk to me because I have a hard time understanding everybody.
It's good to be here. You know, one of the songs we sang was something that I'll turn all these praises to you in Thanksgiving. I've been learning to drive left-handed in Ireland, and she has been learning to turn all these things into praise that she made at home, you know. But one song we sang really touched my heart, and that was the part that said, "He beckons me." And when we came into this sanctuary, the presence of the Lord was here as I was with the pastor over here and sharing. The anointing was so strong, I just wanted to praise the Lord. And so the atmosphere of heaven is here. We're here because I wanted to come to England where Craig has been ministering for a long time, and I've heard what's going on. And it just never worked out that I could come again. But we came specifically just to be with him. Didn't know Dan was going to be here, but this is awesome to have both of us here. But just great to be here. And the other thing I can say is don't get prayed for just once. The anointing works that you just suck it out of the individual. Say, "Lord, I want it all. I want it all for me." So just encourage you. Get prayed for, and the Lord is going to minister to you this night. Thanks. And thanks to the pastor.
We will, during the week, obviously be praying for whomever wants prayer. I encourage you, get the man to lay hands on you. Let him impart that which he carries, because he carries something in the Lord. And we have some other friends here, very special. And some of you have heard me talk about Allendale, Illinois. I mean, Allendale is just nothing, nowhere. It's a crossroads. It's how many people? 550 people, that's it. There's no shops, there's no gas station, there's nothing. And we went to this little Methodist church. I had a couple of people in it. And again, God did something extraordinary. And so we have a man who, again, God trusted to pastor, to shepherd, to look after an outpouring of His Spirit that ran 27 weeks. And we just saw close to 15,000 people get touched by God. It was just extraordinary. He's a big old fella. He's a mountain of a man, but it's a real thrill for me to have my buddy, Pastor Dan and Donna Garvin from Illinois.
Well, it's good to be with you. Yeah, he's rubbing his belly. He's jealous. I do not. I notice that everybody's got a nice chair, and I got this big steel chair. I don't understand what that's all about. But you know, 35 years come Monday, I'll be celebrating my anniversary to a lovely lady, and since she couldn't come with me, Donna decided to come. We've been married. We'll be married for 35 years, and come Monday, and we're excited that we get to celebrate here and to be with a gentleman that I've got to. The last time I saw him, all four of us, Craig and Jenny and Don and I, were sick, and he took us to a Mexican restaurant, and we didn't want to be impolite. And we all thought we was going to have to go out back after we was at the Mexican restaurant, but it was great to see him, great to see him. I'm upset because he wore his Hawaiian Flaherty shirt, and I didn't know he was going to dress up, so I came this way. But I want you to just open your hearts and let Jesus come in. I want you to get ready to experience God the Father walking in this building, telling the Holy Spirit and Jesus to sit down in those two chairs because he's come to have a party with you. And I'll tell you, that's what happened. He came, he had a party, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit danced with us. And I'm anxious to see the same thing happen here. I don't believe it's just a coincidence that God laid upon my good friend here to invite us to come, and then laid it on my new good friend here to slip in. Something's happening, folks. Something's going on in the heavens. You know why? Because something's going on in this world, and it needs something. And I think London's about to be shaken, and I'm excited to be a part of it. God bless you.
My cry is, do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Amen. We're here because we believe that it is in the heart of God to do something in this nation, in this city. And the fact is that your nation took the gospel of Jesus Christ to a vast part of this planet. It was once said that the sun never set on the empire of Great Britain. My nation has the gospel of Jesus Christ because your nation sent missionaries to New Zealand. You sent criminals to Australia, but you sent missionaries to New Zealand. This is so cool. I love to rub that one in. And I sense God drawing us back to this nation year after year for a purpose. And I think that in heaven there is a map of the planet. And on this planet there are little pins that have been put in where he has poured out his spirit. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you will read, and many know this verse as it talks about, if my people will humble themselves and repent of their sin and seek his face, that he will forgive them and heal the land. And very few people read the next few verses, where it talks about where his eye and his heart will always be there. And I think that when God pours out his spirit, when he moves in an amazing way in a nation, in a town, in a place, in a church, that it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 there, and I think it's around about verses 15 or 16 or thereabouts, it says, my heart and my eye will always be there. And the fact is that God used this nation to touch a huge portion of the planet. The fact was that Wesley came from this area, that Evan Roberts came from this area, that we had the Welsh revival. In fact, if we sat down and looked at it, major outpourings, major revivals, major men and women carrying an extraordinary anointing of the Holy Spirit came from this nation. That there was a revival that swept the planet that started just not too that far away from here in Wales. That God has had his eye and his heart on this nation. And I think that in this map in heaven, there is a pin in Wales. There is a pin in Suzu Street in the United States. There is a pin, I believe, in Augusta, Georgia, because he poured out his spirit for 40 nights. There is a pin in Allendale, Illinois. And if that is the case, if God has poured out his power, his presence, his glory, his majesty, his anointing, his spirit in a place, then his eye and his heart will always be there. I believe he wants to do it again. I think that there is a huge need. I think evil abounds. When evil abounds, God's grace abounds. That he wants to do something in this planet, and I think he wants to start in this nation. And that is why I am here, and that's why these men who carry something are here, because God, I think, wants to do it again. It is needed. And so I believe that something's going to be unpacked, unlocked over the next few days. Get ready. God wants to do something extraordinary. And you and you alone will limit just how much He will do in you, through you, with you, in this place, in this city, in this nation. You will choose. I believe that before this night, and indeed this next week or so, is over, many of you are going to have an encounter with God that will turn your lives around. For some of you, your whole life's journey has been heading for this point, to this place, is coming to this moment where you will have an encounter with Him that you will never, ever be the same. I think some of you know deep inside you that it was inevitable. There was just, you knew that in your life's journey, there was going to come a day, a time, a place where you would just have an encounter with God, and that which you have struggled with, that you have wondered about, that which you have believed for, desired, is going to happen. For some of you, tonight and the next week, and the encounter with the Spirit of God will be unexpected, a surprise, but no less life-changing. Life's journey, you see, is more than just a series of coincidences, of happenings, of misfortunes, of luck, even the result of your own hard work and efforts. You see, we have not been left to float on an uncertain sea at the whim and the mercy of every storm of life. The Bible says that He looks through the windows of heaven and He whispers your name. The Bible says that He counts the very hairs upon your head. Of course, some of you are making it easy for Him in the count. It's the Bible says in Psalm 139 that His thoughts are towards us are more numerous than the grains of the sand of the seashore. I mean, next time you go to the sea, just get a bucket of sand, tip it out on that kitchen table and try and count those little suckers. I mean, and that's how many thoughts God has towards you. That He has plans, a hope, and a future for you. That He has prepared good works in advance for you to do. This is the heartbeat of God, is to ravish your heart, to have intimacy with you. And before this week is over, if you are prepared to stand before God and just simply say, Lord, here I am. I believe that He will touch you, heal you, change you. You will never, ever be the same. It's the heartbeat of God to have intimacy with us, to ravish our hearts. That our life's journey is no coincidence. That there just comes a time when He arrests us. There's an intersecting, if you like, in our journey of life where God just stops you and says, now, this moment, right now, it's time to get serious with Me. There's just moments in our journey of life where I believe God just stops us or causes us to be in a place at a time such as this where He says, enough. Time to stop compromising. There are just times, I believe, in our journey of life as you cry out to God for breakthrough in your circumstances, be it in your family, in your finances, or in your body. There just comes a time when God says, all right, I will, and He does. You see, that happened to me on the 4th of May, 1999. At a conference. Back on Sunday night, I'm going to tell the whole story, the detail, the incredible journey, and the whole story of the miracle that happened to me. But as a synopsis of what happened, after struggling for 10 years, having most of my gastrointestinal system removed, in the last weeks, if not the last month of my life, hardly able to eat, weighing, well, in stones, it was just over 6 stone. I don't know how many that is in pounds, but I was a walking skeleton, thin, hardly able to eat. God sovereignly, majestically, supernaturally, miraculously, recreatively healed me. Ron was there. And such was the change that all pain had stopped, all spasms had stopped, all nausea had stopped. I sat down and ate the biggest old meal of southern fried chicken you could ever imagine. At the time that I was miraculously healed, I heard God speak unto me and say that I am the same yesterday, today, forever. I am the God who heals. Arise and eat, for you are healed. Freely you've received. Freely you are to give. Pray for the sick. Just see that I will confirm with signs, wonders, and miracles. And it was 6 months later in Ron's church in November of 1999. The first time I ever began to preach, to share after the miracle, that we began to see God do sovereign things. And the very next year, we were back for a week's mission. And that became 40 days, as God just poured out His Spirit night after night after night. It was hard work. There is a cost. But if you are hungry and if you want more, I think that God wants to do it even more than you want it. You've just got to get the revelation of this. That He wants to do the supernatural and the miraculous in your life even more than you want Him to. That He wants to pour out His Spirit, bring revival in this church, in this city, in this nation, even more than you want Him to. You get the revelation of that, it doesn't take much for suddenly something to be released. If you are hungry, if you are thirsty, then get in the river of His presence shortly. In a moment or soon, well, 2 or 3 hours when I finally shut up, you're going to have a moment, a chance to respond to the call of the Spirit of God. In a moment, you'll need to make a decision that will have far-reaching ramifications for all eternity, actually. Shortly, you'll get to make a decision just to do serious business with God. Will say, well, that was an interesting night, and go home. The choice will be yours. A choice you'll need to make that will affect your eternity. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Mark, chapter 5. Going to look at an incident in the journey of Jesus as He walked on this earth. That was extraordinary, a story that some of you will know reasonably well. It is the story of a woman with an issue of blood, but I want us to look at the story just a little before that. As we look at Mark chapter 5, reading from verse 21. It said, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around Him while He was by the lake. And then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there, and seeing Jesus, he fell at His feet and pleaded earnestly with Him, my little daughter is dying, please come and put your hands on her that she will be healed and live. Now it's significant, this just this one little incident, and the fact that Jairus was a religious ruler. He was part of a group of, well, religious leaders that, well, they weren't Jesus' fan club, you understand. He was not the most popular guy around as far as this group was concerned, and it's significant that this religious leader would come, and the Bible says that he fell at the feet of Jesus. Later on you'll find that Jairus, well, he has a major encounter with God. That when you bow your knee, when you fall at the feet of Jesus, you are worshiping. And it's interesting what Jairus does here, for it stops Jesus on His journey, and Jesus agrees to go with him. If you want a breakthrough in your life, if you want to see God just begin to move in your circumstances, worship is one of the best keys I know to release the supernatural and the miraculous in our lives. In fact, time and time again, we will read through the Bible where as people came to Jesus looking for healing, looking for breakthrough in their circumstances, they bow the knee, they kneel at Jesus. It is an act of worship. And this religious leader does just that. And so we read that Jesus agreed in verse 24. So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. So it's on this journey that Jesus is now going to Jairus' home to pray for his sick daughter that this incident we're going to look at happens. For as he's on his way going there, we read in verse 25, and a woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Verse 30, at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. And he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Now the disciples are incredulous at this. Their response here is to say in verse 31, you see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, "Who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came, and there it is again, fell at his feet. And trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be freed from your suffering." This is a journey of desperation. It is a message, a story of desperation, of worship, of faith in action. And there's just a number of things that I want to highlight in this passage of Scripture. Note that the Bible says that this woman had been sick for 12 long years. It tells us that she had tried everything she could. She got worse, and there is this huge crowd going through, and she thinks to herself, "If I can just reach through, if I can just touch the hem of her garment..." Notice this statement says, "I will get healed." You see, in her heart, it was an absolute. She just knew that she could get through that crowd if she could just touch him. As far as she was concerned, that was it. Done deal. She's going to get healed. We know that Jesus feels power go out of him. We read here that he then begins to say, "Something's happened. Who has touched me?" We read that the disciples are going, "Well, come on, Jesus. There's a huge crowd around you. They're all touching you." No, Jesus says, "I know power's gone out from me. I know something has flowed out from me." And the woman, realizing that, well, the act was up, that she'd been discovered, we read that she then kneels before him. She's afraid. She's a little fearful about this, and in trembling, she explains what has happened. And Jesus, seeing this faith in action, seeing the fact that just something within her was pushing her to push through this crowd. Now, understand something. This woman breaks all social protocols here. What she does is significant. You see, women who had an issue of blood were culturally classed as being unclean. So what she does breaches the rules in a big way. Socially, culturally, she was breaching the rules. The Bible makes it clear that she had been sick for 12 years. She would have been well known in the village. Well known that she was the woman with the issue of blood. You see, in Leviticus, in the Old Testament, in chapter 15, verse 25, let me simply read it to you, that you can understand the seriousness of what's unfolding here. For it says in Leviticus, chapter 15, verse 25, that when a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time, other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she'll be unclean as long as she has the discharge, just as in the days of her period. Whoever touched her, anything that she touched, was classed as being unclean. What this woman does breaches the cultural rules of the day. She is so desperate of heart that she is prepared to breach the rules, break social protocol, push through the crowd with one thought: if I just touch him, I will get healed. And we know that as she reaches out, as she touches, she has breakthrough, she gets healed. Now, there are a number of things that are unfolding here. But I want us to now look at something, and I want to ask you a question and challenge your heart. I want you now to come to Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, we now see another situation happening. We're going to read from verse 45, and what has happened is Jesus has just done, this is just a short time later, he's done the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle of just supply and multiplication, and then it says in verse 45, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd, and after leaving them he went up onto the mountains to pray. It says, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, he was alone on the land, and he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Now, if you read on the rest of the story, what happens is that Jesus walks on water, they get frightened, they cry out, he gets in the boat, and immediately they're on the other side of the lake. I want you now to come and look at this. It says in verse 53 that when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there, verse 54 of Mark 6. And it says this, as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region. They carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Now let me ask you this question. How was it that in Mark chapter 6 it says all who touched Jesus were healed, yet in Mark chapter 5, just a few short days earlier, it says here there's a huge crowd. We know that they're all touching and pushing and jostling and that. The disciples comment on it, yet only the woman with the issue of blood was healed. How was that? You could guarantee that in that huge crowd, there were many sick. In fact, disease and sickness was prevalent at the time. It was a huge part of what Jesus did. So you could guarantee that in that huge crowd, that woman with the issue of blood was not the only one who was sick. We know that they're all touching her. In fact, I've been in the Middle East. I know what they're like. They're very touchy-touchy, feely-feely over there. They'll kind of paw you and touch you. And sorry, brother, I'll pray for you later. Yeah. And they'll stroke your arms, they'll touch you. They're very touchy-feely-feely in that culture. And we know that they're all pushing, jostling, touching, shoving. And yet only the woman with the issue of blood is healed. How is that? And yet just the very next chapter, we read that all who touched him were healed. Why is that? Why is that in one case? All who touched him, even the edge of his cloak, and yet with the woman, only she is. And I put it to you this way, that the difference between the two crowds is this. That those who were with where the woman with the issue of blood was, were curiosity seekers. They were just curious about Jesus compared to the few who push through, reach out, and who are so desperate that they're begging Jesus, just let us touch him. You see, a vague curiosity, a vague familiarity with Jesus actually doesn't manage, doesn't do it, doesn't cut the mustard. The difference was is that crowd with the woman of issue of blood were curiosity seekers, had a vague familiarity. I think that they were there, they were aware that this rabbi was there, they're all pushing, looking, touching, shoving, but only the woman had the hunger, the desperation, she's prepared to push through. And the next group, it's a whole different thing. I think you had a crowd of people who were like the woman with the issue of blood. I think you had a crowd of people that were so desperate that they are begging to touch Jesus. They are bringing their sick friends out, putting them on a mat on the road so they could just reach out, trip him up sort of thing. You know, just anybody, just as he walked past, they just wanted to touch him. And all who touched him were healed. And my question to you is this, which crowd do you belong to? Are you part of that crowd where, with the woman of issue of blood where you are, well, have a vague familiarity with God? Or you're like the other crowd that are so hungry, so desperate that you'll do anything, you'll bring your friends, you'll turn up to every meeting, you're desperate, you'll push, you'll reach out, you beg, God, just please, we can just touch you, we know that we'll get healed. Which crowd do you belong to? Because I tell you that a vague familiarity, a curiosity, just a, well, just a, an attendee doesn't do it. Are you desperate for more of God? Are you hungry for more? You see, there's a huge difference between these two crowds. And the question is put to you tonight, which crowd do you think you belong to? You see, we can be like this with God. You know, we can know the neighbor, talk to the neighbor across the fence every day, but never actually ask the neighbor to come into our home to have a meal, to get personal, intimate, and close with. And we can be like that with God. I tell you, you can attend church faithfully, regularly, and be like the crowd who was with the woman of issue of blood at the end of the day. I don't know any other nicer way to put it, but rather that you're just flat out religious. You have a vague familiarity with him. You know about him, you know of him, but the truth remains, actually, you don't have a personal intimacy. The fact is that you don't have the hunger and the desperation that this other crowd had in Mark chapter 6, where they're bringing their friends out, they are begging, they just want to be close by, they can just reach out as he walked by. As far as they're concerned, that's all they need to touch him, and all who, of course, touched him were healed in that group. And tonight he is calling you. He's calling you. He wants to ravish your heart. He wants an intimacy with you. Friends, it's got to go beyond, well, a familiarity. It's got to go beyond just a curiosity. It's got to go beyond a just, well, let's see what happens. It's the desperate heart, hungry cry that he will touch, heal, change, ravish. And I tell you what all these meetings about, and tonight's just the beginning, and it will build. Ask these men, they will tell you, it will build night after night. The presence, the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will build night after night. And what you receive from God will be determined at the end of the day, just how hungry are you? How desperate are you? Are you prepared to go out into the highways and the byways, get hold of that friend, that neighbor, that work colleague, that family member, and drag them in here because he wants to touch, to heal? And it's whether you're going to go out there and bring them in to have an encounter with the lover of your soul. See, I see a group here in Mark 6 that were just like that, hungry, desperate, so certain. They'd bring their friends out, plonk them down on the road on a mat just in the hope that they, as Jesus walked by, they just might happen to brush against them, and all who did were healed. We can be, I guess, like this other group. And amongst that huge crowd, all pushing, all trying to have a look, all kind of curious. Many of them, I mean, everybody knew of him. That's why they were following Jesus around. But they just had, well, a vague familiarity. They just had a curiosity. They just had a knowledge of him and about him. But the fact was, only one had that sense within herself. She says, if I can just push through the crowd, I don't care what social protocol says. I don't care what the cultural rules are. I don't care that I've been bleeding for 12 years. I just know that I can just push on through and get through. I will get healed. And of course she does. And it's that sort of heart, I think, that God is looking for, and it's like that these meetings are all about. That if you will just make the effort, just rise up, because as you step out, as you reach out, as you cry out, as you push through, I tell you, he will touch you, change you, heal you, ravish you. Oh, you'll never, ever be the same. When I went to this conference in May of 1999, I was in the last weeks, if not the last month of my life. I knew that I was dying. It was just a matter of time before I would go off to hospice for palliative care for the last of my days. And yet something within me was drawing me. My heart cry was, if this is the last thing I ever get to do, if I can just be amongst fellow ministers worshiping God, I just wanted to be in that place. I wanted to be a part of what was happening. I wanted to reach through. And my cry at the time was, oh Lord, that I would just know you. I'd actually stop telling God how to heal me, the way to do it. And in that moment of just absolute surrender, oh God, here I am. He sovereignly, majestically, supernaturally, miraculously, recreatively, he just decided, oh shucks, I'll just put back everything that the surgeons cut out. He went way beyond my wildest imaginations. That's the heartbeat of God, to do way beyond your wildest imaginations. But I tell you, it never happens just sitting back there. See, you can believe in God intellectually, theoretically, even theologically, but until you get it revelationally, you'll never have it experientially. I knew about God and healing intellectually. I had no problem in here. Yeah, God can heal. Of course he can. He made the world. Hey, give me a break. God can do anything. I had no problem with that intellectually. Theoretically, I accepted, yeah, God can heal. I had not got it yet, and I'd been chasing him for healing for years. I'd gone to every revival that was happening around the planet. I'd had Yonggi Cho pray for me. Korea, I was in a prayer meeting of 1.2 million people. I had so much healing anointing oil slapped on me, I tell everybody, I just went bald. The heartbeat of God is to break through. It just takes a hunger. And that day as I stood there before God, and I was actually prepared to live with a re-plumbed digestive system. I just needed God to deal with this bug that was eating me away. But at that place of absolute surrender, because I made the effort, pressed through, made the journey, stood there in that place, as these men and women gathered around and began to pray for me, God sovereignly did a supernatural thing. It just took an effort of breaking through, of reaching out, of going, and tonight you'll need to make a choice. You want more of God? It's got to go beyond intellectual and theoretical. Theologically, I had no problem that God could heal. I have a theological degree. I understood that in here, God healed, but I didn't have the revelation of it until the 4th of May, 1999. A revelation that it came down to intimacy, a revelation of just, I stopped telling God how to do it. I just pushed through, reached out, and something within me said, if I can just touch Him, if I can just connect with the King of the universe, the lover of my soul, I will get healed. On the 4th of May, 1999, I was. Are you ready for God to do more? See, it's got to become a revelation. When it becomes revelation that it's His heartbeat, when it becomes revelation that actually He has more for you than you can ever imagine, then it becomes experiential. And sadly, too many are like, I think, the group in Mark 5. Oh, you know about God and of God, and some of you are as faithful as the cows that come home every day to get healed sort of thing. You know, you'll wander along to church. But it takes more than that. There has to be that hunger and desperation for more, like the group in Mark chapter 6. And all who touched Him were healed. Tonight I think He just wants to fire something in your hearts and your spirits. I'm going to ask you to stand in the presence of God tonight. Will you do that right now? We need to lay hands on the keyboard. It's broken. In a moment, you're going to get an opportunity to respond. In a moment, some of you will transition from being, well, like a group of Mark 5 to the group of Mark 6. You'll just need to push on through. What's going to happen is this. I don't need to share anymore. I think you've got the understanding of where I'm coming from. I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit of God just to sweep through this place, row after row after row, to speak to your hearts. I'm going to ask the Spirit of God to do what we all prayed together out loud just 35 minutes ago. That He would speak to your hearts. That He'd give you revelation and understanding. He's going to talk to some of you just within yourself about the fact that, to be honest with you, you're religious, you're faithful, you're actually like the group in Mark chapter 5. But that He's calling you to go another level, to go another step, to push on through, to rise up, to reach out. For some of you, as I begin to pray in a moment and ask the Spirit of God to sweep over this place, to speak to your heart, He's going to begin to speak to you about, well, it's called sin. About stuff that's just going on in your life, behavior, the things you're saying, you're doing, that actually you know deep within are not right. And I tell you that just as times in our journey of life, as I said right at the beginning, where He arrests us, He stops us, He puts His finger on us, He gives us a moment, a chance to do business with Him, to get right with Him, to deal with that stuff that you know are wrong. And you'll need to make a choice. And the choice will have far-reaching ramifications for all eternity. You see, you can choose in just 1 minute to say, well, that was a lot quicker and shorter and earlier finished than I realized and I thought it would, and go home and bless you and thank you for coming. Or you can choose to reach out, to step out, to have an encounter with God. And whether you believe this or not, and whether you accept this or not, and whether you like it or not, the fact remains that you will stand before God and give an account of your whole life at the end of your days. You will. And the thing is that you will never, ever be able to say, but God, I never had a chance to get right with you. Lord, I never had a chance to repent. Lord, I never had a chance to get serious with you, to stop compromising, to ask in my heart, because at 5 to 9, in just 1 minute, you're going to get a chance to do just that. You'll never be able to claim that, well, Lord, I never had that opportunity. Because in the moment, you're about to get it. See, this is all about, as a congregation of people, as a collection of churches, as a people at this place, at this time, and your history, your journey of life, this is all about that God would bring you together, would arrest you, would stop you in your tracks, would just say, tonight, now, it's time to get real, serious, repent, turn, change, rise up, reach out. And this is your opportunity, and you'll either seize it or you won't. And you'll either receive it or you won't. The choice is yours, and it's about to come. Let me tell you what I'm going to do now. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. We do that so that you can just, well, not be distracted, and so you can just do a bit of personal introspection. You need to seek your heart. You need to search your heart. You need to hear God speak to you, because He's about to do what we all prayed together a short while ago. He's going to speak to you about sin. He's going to speak to you about compromise. He's going to speak to you about it's time to go from having a vague familiarity to having intimacy. He's going to speak to you about, well, just stuff you've been doing and saying, that tonight is that opportunity and your journey of life to get right with God. And then you'll make the choice. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes right now. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Spirit of God to speak to your heart. And then we're going to ask you to respond, to come up here. This is not a call for prayer for healing. That'll happen later. This is a call for you to do business with God, to seize the moment, to take the moment. And whether you're wearing a badge and you're part of the response team or not, whether you're a leader or not, this is this moment where God's going to speak to you, and you need to take it and get right with Him. You will know He's talking to you. There'll just be stuff in your life. You'll suddenly realize, this is my moment. I need to get right with God. If you have never asked Jesus to come into your life, tonight, well, this will be the moment to do that. Perhaps you did that a long time ago, and you've been a faithful attendee of church, and you've classed yourself as a Christian, but the fact is you don't have intimacy with Him. You know you don't. You're a little bit like the group in Mark 5. They knew about Him. They knew of Him. That's why they were there following Him around. But only one had that sense of destiny to push through, break the rules, actually. This is your moment. He's about to speak to you. Here it comes. When I give the call, you get out of your row, you get up here. And I will lead you in a prayer. You don't have to worry about what you'll pray. We will lead you in that. It's a moment that you need to seize, that your life can change. Here it comes. Heavenly Father, I've shared all that you wanted me to share this night. I now ask, speak to their hearts, Holy Spirit. Row after row after row, Holy Spirit, I ask, you now begin to sweep over this place and just begin to speak to their hearts about compromise, about lukewarmness, about familiarity but no intimacy. Speak to their hearts, Lord. Here he comes, just row after row. He's going to speak to your hearts. Row after row. He's speaking to you about, well, sin, lack of intimacy, religiosity, familiarity, but no intimacy. He's speaking to you. Hear the word of the Lord speak to your heart. Thank you, Lord. Just sweep over this place. Speak to them, Lord. This is their moment. Sweep over this place, Holy Spirit. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if he's been speaking to you, come. Just come out of your row and come up here. We're going to do business with God. Come. Just come out of your row and come up here. You will not be able to do this hiding back there. This is about you and God. There's something about stepping out, reaching out, calling out, but you'll need to come. You need to come up here and we're going to pray with you. Come. He's talking to you about your relationship with him. You know the stuff you need to get right with God. Come. Just come out of your row and come on up here. This is not a call for healing. This is about you seizing this moment and doing business with God. Come. Come on. Come. You will not be embarrassed, but you'll need to do business with God. Come. He's talking to you about, well, compromise. Come. He's talking to you about just stuff in your life that you know you've struggled with. Come. Don't worry about what others are thinking. This is between you and God. They're not standing there going, oh my goodness, there goes Mary. She's been going to church for 20 years. They're worried about whether God's speaking to them. Come. Just come right up the front here. Make room for those still coming down the aisle. Come. Don't block the center aisle, dear. Just move out of the way. Just come. Come on, he's calling you. Take this moment. We'll pray for the sick afterwards, but this is about you doing business with God. Come, because he's been speaking to you. Some of you are surprised. You did not expect God to begin to speak to you about, well, stuff in your life. Come. Take this moment. You don't know whether this moment will ever come by again. You don't know what tomorrow holds. They're just our moments in our journey of life where he speaks to you. And you know you need to do business with God. You know that you need to move from one group to the next, from one of just familiarity to intimacy, one of desperation. You know he's talking to you. You need to come. You need to come. It might be that you are going to be involved in helping out in the meeting, but suddenly tonight he's begun to speak to you about stuff and it's caught you by surprise. Just take the badge off for a moment. Come up here and do business with God. Just slip it off. If you're up here to do business with God, just slip that old badge off. This is between you and God, and you need to seize this moment. And be embarrassed about the fact that you are going to serve if suddenly God's talking to you about, well, stuff. Come. Come. It's about having an encounter with God. It's about seizing a moment in your journey of life where suddenly God says, now. And you go, look, there's no shame in being one of the last ones to respond. Quickly, come. Because there can be so much pain if you miss this moment. Please, come. Take this moment. Any more that want to slip on up here and be a part of this. Come. Come. There's just these divine moments. God wants to do something. See, it's going to light something. It's going to spark something. You're about to have an encounter with God. He's talking to you. You're surprised to find yourself up here. But it's about you and God. Any more want to join these ones? See, this is the beginning. Are you ready? Now listen to me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You can't think yourself right with God. You need to... Well, you need to speak the words. The Bible actually says, with your heart you believe, your mouth you confess. And so you can't think yourself all sorted out. It's a matter of speaking the words. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and you need to say the words after me. I'm going to tell you the words you're going to say. So you can never say, well, that old Kiwi boy from New Zealand had me saying stuff I didn't think I was going to say. I'm going to tell you the words you're going to say. And you're going to have an encounter with God tonight. You're going to say words along these lines of, Lord, here I am. Forgive me. Anything I've said, thought, or done that's been wrong, that's grieved you, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. You're going to make a wonderful declaration. You're going to say, Lord, tonight I am yours, you are mine, I receive you into my life, I receive you into my heart in a fresh and a new way. You're going to acknowledge and thank Jesus for dying on the cross for your sins. You're going to say words like, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross so I don't pay the price for my sin. And as you say this prayer, as you make this declaration, everything you've ever said, thought, or done that's been sinful, he's going to forgive, cleanse, wipe away. The Bible says he'll write your name afresh and anew in the book of life. The Bible says that even angels have a party. They rejoice. It's an awesome thing that's going to happen. Tonight he's going to touch you, cleanse you, forgive you, change you, fill you. Are you ready? You need to say these words with me. And as you do, he's just going to touch you, and this is the moment. It's awesome. Say these words out loud after me, if you will. Dear Lord in heaven, tonight I make a decision before witnesses and you in heaven. And I say, here am I. Search my heart. If there's been anything I've said, thought, or done that's grieved you, that's been wrong, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Change me. I thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross for me so I don't pay the price for sin. I accept that. I thank you, Jesus. And I make a declaration that I am yours, that you are mine. I receive all that you have for me. Fill me, change me, help me, heal me, wash me. I thank you. Amen. Yes, well done. Yes. It's an awesome moment. I want you to put your hand out as if you were going to receive something. You know, if I had a 50 quid note, you'd be real quick to put that old paw out there, wouldn't you, eh? So you just put that hand out as if you're going to receive. I'm just going to pray that he'll seal it into place this moment. This is a conspicuous, auspicious, awesome, majestic moment. You've just done business with God in heaven. You've just had your sins forgiven. Your heart washed. Your spirit set on fire, revived. This is an awesome moment. I'm going to pray that he'll seal it into place. Are you ready? Just say this, Lord, give me all you have for me, that I would never be the same, that you would be glorified. Amen. Holy Spirit, seal it into place now. Heal it into place, Holy Spirit. Just seal it into place. Touch them right now. Seal it into place, this awesome decision. Lord, this life-changing moment. Seal it into place, Holy Spirit. Touch them now, Holy Spirit. Fill them in a fresh and new way. A fresh encounter, a new encounter. The first night of the mission. Lord, tonight, this is their night and their moment. Fill them in a fresh new way, Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would never be the same. That you would be glorified in our lives, in this town, in this nation, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. There's quite a few of you. Give me a hand, wave your hand in a moment. If this was the first time you've ever prayed a prayer like that, I just want to know, you've never asked Jesus into your life like that. You've never actually said those words. Are there any? Come on, put it up. Don't be shy. That's an awesome moment. It's an awesome thing. How many tonight was a, well, it was a serious recommitment. It was a significant recommitment. Just tonight you, well, you've made a life-changing, serious recommitment to God. How many of that's your choice tonight, your decision? Put your hand. I want to see who you are. Awesome. Awesome. You'll never be the same. Hmm. What I want to do is I want to record here on earth what was recorded in heaven. But just those of you, the first time decision, and those of you where tonight was actually a significant kind of recommitment, a significant, where you, tonight you stepped out and you are believing for, that this is a major turning point in your walk, your relationship with God. And if that's your case, and there's a number of you, we're going to ask you to go with Pastor Paul. He just wants to pray over you for a moment. They want to record on earth here what was recorded in heaven. It will only take a moment. You will not miss out. But we are going to ask you to go to your left and go with Pastor Paul. He's the good-looking dude in the blue shirt who's helping God count hair. So I want you to follow him. Just those of you that made that recommitment or first-time commitment, it won't take a moment, but it's about him sealing in the place, the decision. And we're going to open this up and pray for healing, and you won't miss out. It'll only take a moment. Just you go out that door, and he's going to take just 2 or 3 minutes. It won't take a moment. For the rest of you, this is what we're going to do, and you will get to come back in a moment. We're just going to pray that the river of God's presence is going to flow through this place. If you need healing, we want you to come up. Hear this. Hear this. The longer you soak, the wetter you get. Soak in his presence. Just stand in his presence. Get off the bank and get in the river. Soak in his presence. Let the ministry team people pray for you. They'll have a badge on. They'll have the letter P. And it's just they want to pray for you. Allow the pastors from America to pray for you. The more people that pray for you, the better. It's cumulative. It'll build. If you want Jenny and I to specifically pray for you, and particularly with healing, just be patient. We will get to you. We're just going to spend some time worshiping God. The music will play. We'll just tense a moment. And don't be too big a rush to go home. Don't be too big a rush to get out of the presence of God and out of the house of God. Soak in his presence. For the longer you soak, the wetter you get. There'll be no formal ending tonight. We're just going to spend time in his company, soak in what God has for us, that you might never ever be the same. Amen. Just worship, just enjoy his presence. Ministry team, you want to start waiting amongst them, begin praying for them. Pastor Ron, Pastor Dan, and the other pastors, please, will you come and just begin to pray for folk, that the presence of God will begin to touch, heal, and change. Amen.
Oh, who are thirsty? Oh, who are weak? Come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow